Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to this Saturday, June 3rd episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. A lot of great listening over there. Definitely worth your while to get over there and take a listen. Try to find something that you're interested in. I want to continue to point you at the final two links in our show notes. The first one is, First one is Vail Valley Baptist Church Give, Send, Go campaign. We are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can commence establishment of a Christian classic education-based school to provide a trustworthy alternative within our community. Go ahead and click on the link. It'll give you a much more thorough description than I just did. And then we would ask three things of you. We'd ask you to pray for us. We'd ask you to prayerfully consider giving to us, and we'd ask you to pass that link along so that others can do the same. Now, for the final link in the show notes, it is labeled Transportation for Church Planters Jollies. Nathaniel Jolly and his wife are church planters up in Alaska, and they have a single vehicle that they bought when they headed up there a couple years ago. It is broke down, and it is critical both for their family and for the church plant that they have up there. And Nathaniel does not draw a salary. I mean, it is a church plan. He does not draw a salary on that. So it's going to cost about $8,000 to fix this vehicle. And believe me, that's much cheaper than trying to buy something else. So they are in dire need. Nathaniel is a great, great brother in Christ. The work he's doing up there is just amazing. So I would definitely encourage you to support. And again, I would tell you to do the same thing. Go ahead and click on the link. Nathaniel describes their need very, very well. And then I would ask you to do the same things I did for our own link. Go ahead and pray for them, prayerfully consider giving to them, and pass that link along so that others can do the same. All right. Well, with it being a Saturday, we are going to just do our own Bible reading and no Bible study today. So let's go ahead and get going with that. We'll go ahead and open up with the Seventh-day morning prayer. It's called God's Good Pleasure. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, thy will is supreme in heaven and earth, and all beings are creatures of thy power. Thou art the Father of our spirits. Thy inspiration gives us understanding. Thy providence governs our lives. But, O God, we are sinners in thy sight. Thou hast judged us so, and if we deny it, we make thee a liar. Yet in Christ thou art reconciled to thy rebellious subjects. Give us the ear of faith to hear him, the eye of faith to see him, the hand of faith to receive him, the appetite of faith to feed upon him, that we might find in him light, riches, honor, eternal life. Thou art the inviting one, may we hearken to thee, the almighty instructor, teach us to live to thee, the light dweller, inaccessible to man and angels, hiding thyself behind the elements of creation, but known to us in Jesus. Possess our minds with the grandeur of thy perfections. Thy love to us in Jesus is firm and changeless. Nothing can separate us from it, and in the enjoyment of it, nothing can make us miserable. Preserve us from hypocrisy and formality in religion. Enable us to remember what thou art and what we are, to recall thy holiness and our unworthiness. Help us to approach thee clothed with humility, for vanity, forwardness, insensibility, disorderly affection, backwardness to duty, proneness to evil are in our hearts. Let us never forget thy patience, wisdom, power, faithfulness, care, and never cease to respond to thy invitations. Amen. All right. And our morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for June 3rd. The text for the morning one is 1 Chronicles 4:23, or is from there. These were potters, and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work. Potters were not the very highest grade of workers, but the king needed potters, and therefore they were in royal service. Although the material upon which they worked was nothing but clay. We too may be engaged in the most menial part of the Lord's work, but it is a great privilege to do anything for the king, and therefore we will abide in our calling, hoping that although we have lean among the pots, yet shall we be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and our feathers with yellow gold. The text tells us of those who dwelt among plants and hedges, having rough, rustic, hedging and ditching work to do. They may have desired to live in the city amid its life, society, and refinement, but they kept their appointed places, for they also were doing the king's work. The place of our habitation is fixed, and we are not to remove from it out of whim and caprice, but seek to serve the Lord in it by being a blessing to those among whom we reside. These potters and gardeners had royal company, for they dwelt with the king, and although among hedges and plants, they dwelt with the king there. No lawful place or gracious occupation, however mean, can debar us from communion with our divine Lord. In visiting hovels, swarming lodging houses, workhouses, or jails, we may go with the king. In all works of faith, we may count upon Jesus' fellowship. It is when we are in his work that we may reckon upon his smile. Ye unknown workers who are occupied for your Lord amid the dirt and wretchedness of the lowest of the low, be of good cheer, for jewels have been found upon dunghills ere now. Earthen pots have been filled with heavenly treasure, and ill weeds have been transformed into precious flowers. Dwell ye with the king for his work, and when he writes his chronicles, your name shall be recorded. All right, well, let's get into our reading. We're going to be reading from 2 Samuel 19, verse 11, through 2 Samuel 21. We'll be reading John 21, Acts 1, Psalm 120, Psalm 121, and Proverbs 16, verses 16 through 18. Again, remember, this is a double reading day, so we'll finally be, after today, we'll be caught back up with our reading and be where we're supposed to be. So, let me take some coffee here real quick. All right, so, sorry I slurped there. 2 Samuel 19, starting in verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Now King David had sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, saying, Speak to the elders of Judah, saying, Why are you the last to have the king return to his house, while the word of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house? You are my brothers, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then should you be the last to have the king return? And say to Amasa, Are you not my bone and my flesh? May God do so to me and more also if you will not be commander of the army before me continually in place of Joab. Thus he inclined the hearts of all the men of Judah as one man. So they sent word to the king, saying, Return, you and all your servants. The king then returned and came as far as the Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgal in order to go to meet the king, to cause the king to pass over across the Jordan. Then Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, who was from Bahurim, hurried and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. Now there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, with Ziba, the young man of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him, and they rushed to the Jordan before the king. Then they kept passing over the ford to cause the king's household to pass over, and to do what was good in his sight. And Shimei the son of Gera fell down before the king, as he was about to pass over the Jordan. So he said to the king, Let not my lord consider me guilty, nor remember what your servant did wrong on the day when my lord the king went out from Jerusalem, so that the king would take it to heart. For your servant knows that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I have come today, the first of all the house of Joseph, to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai the son of Zeruiah said, Should not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the anointed of Yahweh? David then said, What have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be an adversary to me? Should any man be put to death in Israel today? For do I not know that I am king over Israel today? And the king said to Shimei, You shall not die. Thus the king swore to him. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, had come down to meet the king, and he had not done anything for his feet, nor done anything for his mustache, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came home in peace. Now it happened when he came from Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? So he answered, O my lord the king, my servant deceived me, for your servant said, I will saddle a donkey for myself, that I may ride on it and go with the king, because your servant is lame. Moreover, he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is like the angel of God. Therefore do what is good in your sight. for all my father's household was nothing but men worthy of death before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who ate at your own table. What right do I have yet that I should complain any more to the king?" So the king said to him, "Why do you still speak of your affairs? I have decided. You and Ziba shall divide the land." And Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him even take it all, since my lord the king has come in peace to his own house." Now Barzillai the Gileadite had come down from Rogalim, and he passed over the Jordan with the king in order to send him off over the Jordan. Now Barzillai was very old, being 80 years old, and he had sustained the king while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said to Barzillai, "You pass over with me, and I will sustain you in Jerusalem with me." But Barzillai said to the king, "How long have I yet to live, that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am now 80 years old. Can I know between good and evil? Or can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Or can I hear any more the voice of singing men and women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant would merely pass over the Jordan with the king. Why should the king compensate me with this reward? Please let your servant return, that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and my mother. However, here is your servant Chimham. Let him pass over with my lord the king and do for him what is good in your sight." So the king answered, "Chimham shall pass over with me, and I will do for him what is good in your sight, and whatever you require of me I will do for you." Then all the people passed over the Jordan, and the king passed over too. The king then kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his place. Now the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah, and also half the people of Israel, accompanied the king. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king, and said to the king, "Why had our brothers the men of Judah stolen you away, and caused the king and his household and all David's men with him to pass over the Jordan?" Then all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, "Because the king is a close relative to us. Why then are you angry about this matter? Have we eaten at all at the king's expense, or has anything been taken for us?" But the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, "We have 10 parts in the king, therefore we also have more claim on David than you. Why then did you treat us with contempt? Was it not our word first to have our king return?" Yet the words of the men of Judah were harsher than the words of the men of Israel. 2 Samuel 20. Now a vile fellow happened to be there, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew the trumpet and said, "We have no portion in David, nor do we have inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." So all the men of Israel went up from following David and followed Sheba the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clung to their king from the Jordan even to Jerusalem. Then David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, the concubines whom he had left to keep the house, and placed them under guard, and provided them with sustenance, but did not go into them. So they were shut up until the day of their death, living as widows. Then the king said to Amasa, "Call out the men of Judah for me within 3 days, and you yourself stand here." So Amasa went to call out the men of Judah, but he delayed longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba, the son of Bichri, will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your lord's servants and pursue him, lest he find for himself fortified cities and deliver himself from our sight." So Joab's men pursued him, along with the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men, and they went out from Jerusalem to pursue Sheba the son of Bichri. They were at the large stone which is in Gibeon, and Amasa came to meet them. Now Joab was dressed in his military attire, and over it was a belt with a sword in its sheath fastened at his waist, and as he came out, it fell out. Then Joab said to Amasa, "Is it well with you, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa was not on guard against the sword which was in Joab's hand, so he struck him in the belly with it and poured out his inward parts on the ground, and did not strike him again, and he died. Then Joab and Abishai his brother pursued Sheba the son of Bichri. Now there stood by him one of Joab's young men, and said, "Whoever delights in Joab, and whoever is for David, let him follow Joab." But Amasa lay wallowing in his blood in the middle of the highway. And the man saw that all the people stood still. So he removed Amasa from the highway into the field, and threw a garment over him when he saw that everyone who came by him stood still. As soon as he was removed from the highway, all the men passed on after Joab to pursue Sheba the son of Bichri. Now he went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel, even Beth-Makah, and all the Beerites, and they were assembled and also came after him. So they came and besieged him in Abel Beth Maacah, and they cast up a siege ramp against the city, and it stood by the rampart, and all the people who were with Joab were wreaking destruction in order to cause the wall to fall. Then a wise woman called from the city, "Hear, hear, please tell Joab, draw near that I may speak with you." So he drew near to her, and the woman said, "Are you Joab?" And he answered, "I am." Then she said to him, "Listen to the words of your maidservant." And he answered, "I am listening." Then she spoke, saying, "Formerly they used to speak in this way, saying, 'They will surely ask advice at Abel.' And thus they ended the dispute. I am of those who are peaceable and faithful in Israel. You are seeking to put to death a city, even a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of Yahweh?" And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. Such is not the case. But a man from the hill country of Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri by name, has lifted up his hand against King David. Give him over alone, and I will go from the city." And the woman said to Joab, "Behold, his head will be thrown to you over the wall." Then the woman came to all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba the son of Bichri, and threw it to Joab. So he blew the trumpet, and they were scattered from the city, each to his tent. Joab also returned to the king at Jerusalem. Now Joab was over the whole army of Israel, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And Adoram was over the forced labor, and Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud was the recorder, and Sheva was scribe, and Zadok and Abiathar were priests, and Ira the Jerite was also a priest to David. 2 Samuel 21. And there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. And David sought the presence of Yahweh, and Yahweh said, "It is for Saul and his bloody house, because he put the Gibeonites to death." So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the sons of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, and the sons of Israel made a covenant with them. But Saul had sought to strike them down in his zeal for the sons of Israel and Judah. Thus David said to the Gibeonites, "What should I do for you, and how can I make atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of Yahweh?" Then the Gibeonites said to him, "We have no concern of silver or gold with Saul or his house, nor is it for us to put any man to death in Israel." And he said, "I will do for you whatever you say." So they said to the king, "The man who consumed us and who planned to eradicate us from standing within any border of Israel, let 7 men from his sons be given to us, and we will hang them before Yahweh in Gibeah of Saul, the chosen of Yahweh." And the king said, "I will give them." But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the oath of Yahweh, which was between them, between David and Saul's son Jonathan. So the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, Armoni and Mephibosheth, whom she had borne to Saul, and the 5 sons of Merab, the daughter of Saul, whom she had borne to Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. Then he gave them into the hand of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the mountains before Yahweh, so that the 7 of them fell together. And they were put to death in the first days of harvest, at the beginning of barley harvest. And Rizpah the daughter of Aiah took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock, from the beginning of harvest until it rained on them from the sky. And she allowed neither the birds of the sky to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the fields by night. Then it was told to David what Rizpah the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. So David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from the men of Jabesh Gilead, who had stolen them from the open square of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them on the day the Philistines struck down Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from there, and they gathered the bones of those who had been hanged. Then they buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son in the land of Benjamin in Zelah, in the grave of Kish's father. Thus they did all that the king commanded. And afterwards God was moved by the entreaty for the land. And the Philistines were at war again with Israel. So David went down, and his servants with him. And as they fought against the Philistines, David became weary. Then Ishbi-Benob, who was among those born to the giants, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of bronze in weight, was girded with a new sword, and he intended to strike down David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, helped him, and struck the Philistine, and put him to death. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, "You shall not go out again with us to battle, so that you do not extinguish the lamp of Israel." Now it happened afterwards that there was war again with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibbecai the Hushathite struck down Saph, who was among those born to the giants. There was war with the Philistines again at Gob, and Elhanan, the son of Jeroregim, the Bethlehemite, struck down Goliath the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Then there was war at Gath again, and there was a man of great stature who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each feet, 24 in number, and he also had been born to the giants. And he reproached Israel. So Jonathan the son of Shimei, David's brother, struck him down. These 4 were born to the giants in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. All right, John 21. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and cast himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, and fish placed on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the 3rd time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a 2nd time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the 3rd time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the 3rd time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Therefore this saying went out among the brothers, that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is bearing witness to these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, and which, if they were written one after the other, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Acts 1. The first account, O Theophilus, I composed about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive, after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over 40 days and speaking about the things concerning the kingdom of God. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the end of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all, with one accord, were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the brothers. A crowd of about 120 persons was there together, and said, Men, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was counted among us and received his share in the ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the price of his unrighteousness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his intestines gushed out. And it became known to all who were living in Jerusalem, so that in their own language the field was called Hekeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his residence be made desolate, and let no one dwell in it, and let another man take his office. Therefore it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time with the Lord Jesus went in and out, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, You, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Psalm 120. In my distress, a song of ascents. In my distress, I called to Yahweh, and he answered me, O Yahweh, deliver my soul from a lying lip, from a deceitful tongue. What shall he give to you, and what shall he add to you, O deceitful tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior, with the burning coals of the broom tree. Woe is me, for I sojourn in Meshech, for I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long has my soul had its dwelling, with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Psalm 121, A Song of Ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to stumble. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will not slumber and will not sleep. Yahweh is your keeper. Yahweh is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Yahweh will keep you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Yahweh will keep your going out and your coming in, from now until forever. And finally, Proverbs 16, verses 16 through 18. Yeah, 16 through 18. How much better it is to acquire wisdom than fine gold, and to acquire understanding is to be chosen above silver. The highway of the upright is to turn away from evil. He who guards his way keeps his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. All right, well, that is our reading for the day. Let's go ahead and do the evening devotion. The text for it is from Philippians 2:8. He humbled himself. Jesus is the great teacher of lowliness of heart. We need daily to learn of him. See the master taking a towel and washing his disciples' feet. Follower of Christ, wilt thou not humble thyself? See him as the servant of servants, and surely thou canst not be proud. Is not this sentence the compendium of his biography? He humbled himself. Was he not on earth always stripping off first one robe of honor and then another, till naked he was fastened to the cross? And there did he not empty out his inmost self, pouring out his lifeblood, giving up for all of us, till they laid him penniless in a borrowed grave. How low was our dear Redeemer brought! How then can we be proud? Stand at the foot of the cross and count the purple drops by which you have been cleansed. See the thorn crown, mark his scourged shoulders, still gushing with encrimsoned rills. See hands and feet given up to the rough iron, and his whole self to mockery and scorn. See the bitterness and the pangs, and the throes of inward grief, showing themselves in his outward frame. Hear the thrilling shriek, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And if you do not lie prostrate on the ground before that cross, you have never seen it. If you are not humbled in the presence of Jesus, you do not know him. You were so lost that nothing could save you but the sacrifice of God's only begotten. Think of that, and as Jesus stooped for you, bow yourself in lowliness at his feet. A sense of Christ's amazing love to us has a greater tendency to humble us than even a consciousness of our own guilt. May the Lord bring us in contemplation to Calvary. Then our position will no longer be that of the pompous man of pride, but we shall take the humble place of one who loves much because much has been forgiven him. Pride cannot live beneath the cross. Let us sit there and learn our lesson, and then rise and carry it into practice. All right, well, that is our episode for today. I hope you go ahead and have yourself a great day. I'll continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. I hope you have interesting plans for this weekend. And if they do not include worshiping with the saints, change them. You need to get to church. And if you're in the local area and you don't have a place to worship, come join us. You can find us at vvb.church on the web. Our address is there on the site. Please come join us. Pastor Jay is going to continue walking us through the Gospel of Matthew. We're in Matthew 9. We would definitely love to have you there. So please, but whether there or somewhere else, worship with the saints. You need to find a good church and you need to be in worship with the saints. Watching online is not church. It's not. I understand the need at certain times, but it is not church. So please change your plans if they don't include that. All right. Well, let's go ahead and close up with the Saturday evening prayer. It's called Future Blessings. Let's pray. O Lord God, there is no blessing we implore, but thou art able to give. Hast promised to give, hast given already to countless multitudes, all unworthy and guilty like ourselves. Make us willing to receive the supply of our need from thy bounty. To this end, convince us of sin. Soften our hard hearts to bewail our folly, ingratitude, pride, unbelief, rebellion, corruption. Through the law may we die to the law, then look with wonder, submission, delight to the provision thou hast made for the glory of thy name and the salvation of sinners. Give us a hope that makes us not ashamed, a love that excites to holy obedience, a joy in thee that is our strength, a faith in thy Son, and thy Son who loved us and died for us. May we persevere in duty, when not fully conscious of thee, wait upon thee, and keep thy way. Be humble and earnest suppliants at thy feet. Live continually as on the brink of eternity. Let us be at thy disposal for the duties and events of life. Submit our preferences to thy wisdom and will. Resign our enjoyments if thou shouldst require it. As our absolute proprietor and best friend, in our unworthiness and provocations, make us grateful for the means of grace and the ordinances of religion, and teach us to profit by them more than we have done. Help us to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, to enter upon the Sabbath, mindful of its solemnities, duties, privileges, setting all things worldly aside while we worship thee. May we know the blessedness of men, whose strength is in thee, and in whose hearts are the highways to heaven. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Have a good one. God bless.